What's up, y'all? This is RC, and do I have something for you from Prize Picks? Listen, they picked me to do this because early on in the week, I already told y'all, I got Breezy over MJ in the talent department, so I can't miss, and we are giving you a can't miss as well. Jason Tatum is valued at 0.5 points in this game, so if you get the over, one free throw, and you got easy money. So think about what Prize Picks is doing, not only matching your deposit up to $100, but giving you the easy win. Listen, I already told you guys, and we tell you week to week, we're available in almost 75% of the states. And yes, Prize Picks has the big ones. Florida, Cali, and Texas. Matching your money, giving you easy wins. Prize Picks is the best app for player props and also daily fantasy. Download the app, make your picks, and make your money. It's Prize Picks and the Pivot. Let's go.
There he is, the OG.
What's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
Good, how you
man,
doing,
man, thank you for good being here, man. Yes, sir.
Oh, I couldn't tackle you. I couldn't tackle you, man.
No, what's up, boss?
What's up, how you doing? What's happening? How you doing?
All right.
Where am I sitting?
He's still bigger than you, right, man. Right, he's right, still bigger than you, Freddy.
Yeah, he is, hey, right?
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me
Eric
up.
Eric Dickerson, you need no introduction. Welcome to the Pivot.
Thanks.
The most iconic back ever in the history of the game.
I don't know about that, you know.
I mean, you were the only one that had, you had the goggles.
I had the goggles.
You had the neck roll.
And the Jerry.
And the Jerry curl. The Jerry curls. Come on, man.
Curl, yeah. You know, it's this stuff I wore. I mean, it wasn't nothing that I was trying to be cool or different. You know, I got to say the neck roll was kind of a touch that I got to say, I took it from my boy Craig James when we were in college.
Right.
And he had a neck roll. I'm like, I kind of like that neck roll. I never had one in high school. So I kind of took the neck roll and I, you know, kind of did my own twist, stretched it out and just made it look cool like Superman. So that's kind of what the neck roll.
Serious question though, because I get sweat in my eyes and I ain't have no hair.
with the Jerry curl dripping?
Yeah, the activated and the oil sheen?
Never. I'm gonna tell you the problem with it. Because I wore goggles.
Right.
Man, they fogged up all this. I hated them things. But people thought, I wore them just to be cool. But I hated them. I was always I was walking to the line of scrimmage doing this, wiping them off. You know, it helped when guys are trying to poke in the eyes because I got a lot of that. Especially back in those days, you know, mm-hmm. it was really dirty football, but it was football. But, those goggles were just part of the deal. But the Jerry curl, it was what the Jerry curl was. Wow. He probably you had an S curl or something like that?
Yeah, he definitely had an S curl.
You had an S curl, Fred.
Everybody had it.
Thank you.
Everybody dipped and dabbed with the little S curl juice.
You know what I did? I did a perm.
The little perm.
I did a perm.
I did. I had the top, had the curly top. I thought I had good hair like L.B. Short.
I tell you, them goggles weren't sweet. Man. I see you got glasses on now, like you have a visually impaired, but them goggles weren't sweet, bro.
I know the goggles didn't look good. And I didn't like them. I mean, I didn't like wearing them. I mean, when I first wore glasses, I had to wear my school glasses when I played in seventh grade and eighth grade. I had to wear my school glasses, and they were the brown, like the round horn ones, kind of ugly, and I'd come on the field with my head down because I hated them glasses. And there weren't no sports glasses back then. And, you know, if you broke your glasses, you know, as a kid, and I was blind, it would take months. You might get your glasses back in 3 months. So you have to be careful, but I didn't like the glasses either. So don't think that, I thought they were cool.
So ED, you know what I mean? I skipped the part because I was so excited. This is the Pivot. We need you to subscribe. We need you to like YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Our sponsor is Happy Dad. They would be very grateful, as we are. But you talking about not being able to see, not having vision. None of that showed up in your game, though.
You know, people always say that, you know, guy, oh, he has great vision, you know. For a running back, it's not about the vision. It's about feel. Mm-hmm. It's just like a defensive back, a receiver. It's about what you feel. Like when I'm playing, I could feel a guy coming here. And I had great peripheral vision. I mean, did a test on him. My peripheral vision was great. I just couldn't see straight ahead. that was the thing. You know, I could feel him. Like, and I would make a cut because I felt him. And like, how'd you see him? I didn't see him. I felt him. You know, and I was on the football field. You know how guys, stuff happens quick. Yeah. I mean, it's instinct. Sometimes you make the wrong decision. Sometimes you make the right decision. I was fortunate sometimes to make the right decisions. And one thing was that I was big. I was 6'3", 225, and I was fast. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm, I always I put my speed against anybody when I was younger. I mean, that was a big thing for me. And you know, as you know, as a player, you know, you can. There's no substitute for speed. It's really not.
You can't teach it.
You can't teach it, especially if you're a football player. And I was a track guy, but I was a football player first.
Well, you mentioned Craig James earlier, and you know, we've seen now with Nick Saban recently coming out and talking about Texas A&M being the number one recruiting class because they paid all of their players through NIL. He also has mentioned Deion Sanders and them getting the number one player and using NILs to pay him. When you think about what happened to SMU with the death penalty to now where the game has moved and schools and teams and universities are using this to get players, what does that make you feel like?
Man, that's a great question. You know, I've been frustrated for years, even when I got out of college, you know, how they treated the players. I mean, black, white, you know, it didn't make a difference because, you know, as a player, you don't look at the skin color. You're a player. We all on the same team. I just felt that playership always gotten something. You know, you making the university all this money. First thing they say, well, you got a scholarship. Okay, we got a scholarship, but we're still making the school billions of dollars. The NCAA billions of dollars is really what it comes down to. And I've always just felt that the players or the kids should share in that. Because look, man, everybody's not going to play pro football. Everybody's not going to be a pro basketball player. And you know, you have other people say, well, you know, you can't, you football players, y'all get this, and, you know, and basketball and baseball and the girls' sports. I say, well, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you see a 100,000 people come out to a swim match?
Yeah.
You don't see that. When's the last time you saw 100,000 people come to a baseball game? You don't see that. Mm-hmm. They come to football. They tailgate football. So I just think it's great because I think the players deserve it. You know, it gives them something. If they don't make it, it gives them something to have a start, a kickoff, you know, some kind of money to have. Because, look, I just say, for me being black, we didn't have anything. I mean, we didn't have any money. We were poor. I mean, I'm trying to, the little bit of money that I got, I was sending my mom. I mean, and I think a lot of guys, I was raised by my great aunt, a lot of guys feel the same way. I'm just trying to help, you know, and in a sense, they vilify the young player, the young kid. We're kids. If it was a 15-year-old right now, 16-year-old, high school kid, and I say, look, son, I'm going to give you $500 just for playing a good game. You think he's going to say, oh, no, I can't take it. He's going to say, what?
Right.
$500?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'd be happy to take it. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was like back in those days.
I won't speak for anybody else, but I got all the $1,000 handshakes when I went on recruiting visits. So I ain't going to call out each school. I went to Florida, but every school I went to, I get the handshake, you know, with the rack in it. You know what I'm saying? My mom got an Explorer. I don't know who gave it to her. Like,
there you go.
You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest.
I know what
you're saying. But E.D., you kept the G-code so long.
Yeah.
Because every time people ask you about the Pony Express and the death penalty, you continue to keep the G-code. I don't want you to tell on nobody, but I want to ask you, why do you feel like you got to stay in the G-code where the world knows that E.D. got some bread from somebody?
I'll say this much here. One thing is I'm big on loyalty. I'm big on loyalty. I mean, if I'm your guy, I'm, you know, you my guy, my this is my guys, I'm big on that. I'm, you know, this is our code. We keep this between us. And if you go back and look at guys at SMU, the guys that played with me, we didn't talk. I mean, we were happy for other guys. They got a car, man. Let me see the car, man. Let me check it out. It was no envy. I mean, that was the big thing. I think, you know, as time went by, you know, you think about it, and I just say, what's the sense in telling? I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I just did a book, so I told some of the stuff. I'll tell you how I got the Trans Am.
The
Trans A&M. I make the story short. I saw the car, you know, in my junior year, I did the Trans Am, but I saw it my senior year too. I had to go by this place called Leo Jonigan. I drive by there more every day going to Houston. I go to Houston to see my grandmother. And so I'm like, well, I like that car. And I, you know, being a good football player, I told my mom, and some kind of way it got back to my grandmother. You know, I liked the car. And it was a big A&M boosting ceiling, big one. And one day I went to school, she said, let's go, we're gonna ride to Houston, we're gonna look at that car. I'm like, what car? That Trans Am? I'm like, okay. So I go down and look at the car. Two white men now. They came out and said, the car's yours.
Take the keys.
Take the keys. I said, Mama, she said, don't even worry about that. You ain't never got to worry about it. Fast forward. When the NCAA came, you know, they told me you got to talk to my mother. And she said, you got to talk to his grandmother. My grandmother and my mother were two different people. I mean, they thought my mother was my grandmother because she was older. I was adopted. My grandmother was actually in Houston. So now She talked to him, blah, blah, blah. They finally let the investigation go because my grandmother told them, told the NCAA guy, if I ever see you again, I'm going to sue you personally and the NCAA. Never saw him again after that. So after I retired, I said, Mama, how did that Trans Am come about? I finally asked, she said, well, you know, you didn't need to know, but I'll tell you now. She said that your grandmother paid for that car. Because my grandparents, they could afford it. Mm-hmm. She said, your grandmother, they paid for that car. They paid $14,500 for that car. Wrote them a check for it. She said, Texas A&M, I just said, Texas A&M, gave them the money back in cash. Boom, car, you know, no trail. No, what A&M gonna say? I paid for that car. He paid for that car. Right. No, they couldn't tell. I mean, I didn't know. I'm just a kid. And I just feel like, you know, hey, that's how it was. You know, you guys, everybody got recruited in here. And yeah, I got some of the handshakes too, the $500 handshakes. But it wasn't nothing that was life-changing, let's put it like that. Yeah. Never wasn't money that was gonna change my life. I didn't get land, you know, on down on the coast or nothing like that. We got a few $100. Few $1,000s and it comes out to and the car.
Do you hate that your legacy of what we said, bro? Because like I was joking walking in, I would not want to hit your big ass every play. Bro, you was a dog. Do you hate that your legacy is attached to that Pony Express stuff? Like whenever somebody talks about Eric Dickerson, they always go back to that. Do you dislike it? Do you embrace it?
It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. You know, I think the thing that bothers me the most is that they give the death penalty to me and my class. I was in the pros for 5 years and they got the death penalty. Wow. Nothing to do with the death penalty. That's the part that bothers me. The car, I think it's funny. I think it's great. I mean, Trans Am, it's going to live forever. You saw, you know, the poster that SMU used for the recruiting for the NILs, you know, they got the Trans Am right in the front. You know, that's part of our history. I mean, I think every school has history, no matter good, bad, or indifferent. But I love my university. I'm glad I went there. That's the school that I say the school that my grandmother chose, my mom chose for me. I didn't choose it, but at the end of the day, man, I'm glad I went to SMU.
So as big as you were, you know, even leaving there second pick, the things you did as a rookie of the year, you know, so forth and so on going forward, were there any resentment by the fans? Because they got the worst of the worst that you can get.
You mean that?
Could you go back to SMU and be looked upon as?
No problem going back. You know, the people that were there, they knew it wouldn't have nothing to do with us. Because look, in those years, we were dominant. If you want to say the best team money could buy, we would have to. Everybody wanted to be a Mustang. Everybody wanted to have that horse on their head. Because we had the cool uniforms. We were right in Dallas, Texas. I mean, we had the coach that was, you know, fly coach. Right. I mean, beautiful girls, great campus. We had it all. Right. I mean, it's like the show Dallas was hot back in those days, you know, mm-hmm. Dallas. So everybody wanted to go to SMU. I met so many guys. I said, man, Eric, man, I committed to SMU, man. They got the death penalty, man. I couldn't go. I went there and had no football. So, no, I just think it was that was that era. And I think that era was great football.
You know, when you get to the league and now you see the type of talent that they have and you mention the feel that you have for the game, and you start to dominate in the way that you do. When you were playing the game, were you focused on or was being an all-time great something that mattered to you? Would you work on every day saying, because I say this all the time, and you know, I was talking the other day and I said, look, you can do anything you put your mind to within your skill set.
That's true.
Not anything in the world, because some of us aren't capable.
Right.
But every day you woke up, you had the ability to be the best to ever do it from your position. Were you approaching football in that way?
Most definitely. Great question, most definitely. My dad taught me that. He had a saying to me, he said, son, all that you do what you might, things done by halves are never done right. I always want to be the best. I mean, always. You know, you gotta understand, coming from a small town in Texas, a little town, 2,000 people, I heard all the time, man, Eric can't, you know, he ain't that good. You know, he ain't this, he ain't that. I mean, think about how many times I heard that. You know, he can't play no college football. He hang around here, but he can't play college. And I went to college. My first year, I struggled. See, them the big boys. He can't play with the college boys. Got a little better my next year. My junior year, really, really good. But my senior year, I was like, and I say this, you know, humbly, but I feel like a man playing with boys. My talent, second to nobody's. And that was a God-given talent. It really was. I mean, it was time. A linebacker run up to me. I'm big as he is. You know, defensive end. I'm big as he is. Yeah. I mean, I'm big. You know, he can't catch me. I can run over him. I can run around him. So most definitely, I always wanted to be the best. When I got to the pros, I had that same mentality. I mean, I didn't know how I was going to transcend. I won't forget me and my best friend talked when I got drafted. He said, so what'd you think would be a good rookie year? I said, well, man, because he looked at Marcus's stats. I won't forget look at Marcus Allen's stats. I think Marcus had like 1,100 yards or something like that, like 8-9 touchdowns. And he said, well, man, you better than Marcus. He said, so you should have maybe like 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Right.
I said, that's a good goal. I mean, that was a goal. Mm-hmm. But I had 1,800 yards and 20 touchdowns. And after that year, I mean, I worked hard. I mean, and anybody who knows me and knew they worked out with me, I worked hard at it. I had the gift, but I worked at the gift. You know, and I tell any kid that, you know, if God's going to give you something, it depends on what you do with it. And for me, man, I always wanted to be the best player, you know. And, you know, in some phases I was, some phases I wasn't. But, you know, I always gave 100%.
We had Marshawn Lynch. So I got to do it to Freddie again. Freddie, E.D. sweeter than you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to pay homage. At some point, right, you got to, you know, when they say game recognized game, and there are a lot of backs that come before me that I respect, even some guys that played in my era that I respect. I'm talking about, you know, the LaDainian, guys that play now.
Yeah.
I love Saquon's game, right. Certainly when he's healthy. Christian McCaffrey, a lot of Alvin Kamara. So I always make sure I check out other guys' game. I can see some backs that are in a system and they're a product, they're a benefit, you know, benefactor of that system. And I'm looking like, all right, I would love to have 7 in the box every play. You know?
Right.
It's not always, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. But E.D., he was a dog, man. I remember the high step, you know, the lean back, running upright, you know, when he's in the open.
Yeah.
But in contact, he always lowered his pad, big guy getting down. So I was able to study his game. So certainly, I always tip my hats off to the legend.
Funny, vice versa, because, you know, I told you this. I think I told you that they had me look at film on you.
Mm-hmm.
They had me look at film on him and Curtis Enos. And the Rams asked me, they said, Eric, why don't you look at some film on some two players? I said, okay. I said, who is it? Curtis Enos and Fred Taylor. So I said, okay. So they sent me the tape. I looked at him. I said, all right. I knew which one I liked. I just wanted to see what they were going to say. I said, which guy you like? I said, tell me who y'all like. They said, we like Curtis Enos. I said, not the guy. Mm-hmm. He said, no, I'm telling you. I said, no, I'm talking to the scout now. I said, not the guy. I said, I'm telling you. I said, they said, why? He said, tell me, give me your reasons why. I said, well, first of all, I think he's little. I said, and he runs leaning over too much. He's going to blow his knee out. I said, he doesn't run in control. I said, football, you got to run in control. Mm-hmm. And they talked to me. They said, well, look, Fred Taylor, he gets hurt too much. I said, that's college. I said, but I like the way he runs. I said, he's the guy. They said, we didn't get him draft either one of y'all.
Right.
But then as time went on, you know, and they said, Eric, well, you were right. I said, I told you. Yeah. I mean, I said, I knew it. Same thing when we got Marshall Faulk from, because I helped them facilitate that trade with the Rams to get Faulk. He was in Indianapolis. And I went to our general manager and I told him, look, I said, I talked to Faulk and his agent. I said, he wants to get out of Indianapolis. I said, we have a chance to get him. And the general manager, well, he's always, but why, Eric, why? And I told him why. I said, this guy will make a big difference on our football team. I said, because we don't have a name player right now. It can't put nobody in the stands. I said, he's a great player. I said, I think he'll be a great player for us. Fast forward, what we do? Super Bowl. I expect that. But I said, you know, I'm not saying I'm no guru, but I know my position, you know. And when I saw where Fred ran, I said, man, he's gonna be great in the pros. I mean, I just knew it. And you didn't let me down.
No, I appreciate it.
I was just talking about you the day before yesterday.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Telling this story.
It's the same conversation with Marcus. But again, that's where, for me, you know, when they talk about Hall of Fame, this and that, my peers and the guys that have done it before me, that's what matters the most to me. You know, but aside from that, going back to your draft class in 83, you know, going number 2 behind John Elway, you guys had Dan Marino, Kurt Warner, a few other guys that are legends in the game. Did that motivate you, knowing that you were in that draft class with those guys to be the best to get rookie of the year?
Not really. You know, man, we were just a bunch of kids, you know. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of young kids. It wasn't the media like they have today. You knew certain guys. Like, I played against Marino in the Cotton Bowl, you know. I heard about John Elway, Roger Craig. I was friends with Roger. Met Roger going to the Hula Bowl, him and Jamie Williams. So...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Not really. I mean, it was just, I just wanted to play well. I wanted to do well for my football team. And the thing I knew about with the Rams is that they had a good offensive line. And I, you know, me, and I, and see, I had no injuries when I came out of college. I never carried the ball full time since high school, you know, being that guy. So it gave me an opportunity to show how good I was. Because I always knew, I said, if they'd have really pushed me for the Heisman, I'd have won the Heisman. I mean, I always said that I was the best player in the country that year. I mean, I'm not bragging, but I had 1,679 yards on like 203 carries, 7 yards a carry, 17 touchdowns. I mean, I carried the ball half the time. Right. I'd say Hersha had 150 more carries than me and 100 more yards than I did.
Right.
I tell him, that's my husband you got, Hersha. Right.
you think about that, though, that draft, what it was Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly
in that draft.
Jim
Dan Elway, Marino. John Elway.
Darrell Green. Darrell Green, Roger Craig. I mean, that was a great draft.
Yeah, like when you look back at football and you see all of those great players that played in a different time, especially offensively, right? Offensively, you know, the rules weren't the same. You clothesline, you catch cats, you could blindside them and do those different things. And you watch players now. How do you think an Eric Dickerson would translate into today's football game?
Oh, my gosh. I'd kill it. Man, first of all, just give me an offensive line. Just give me a piece of quarterback. Just a piece. I ain't never really had a. Give me a guy that can just get it downfield.
Yeah.
And I ain't got to see them 8-9 man fronts every time. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Man, you watch the line of scrimmage, man, and you see the safety right there, you're like, damn. I mean, what am I, you know, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, I would kill it. I know I would. I mean, people ask me that. I mean, with the talent I had, like I said, and I say it again, not bragging, but God gave me a talent second to nobody's talent. So yeah. I think I'd do well.
But you ain't gonna get all them damn carries now. Because that old school be honest, that old school ass
Derrick Henry.
That's what I was gonna say.
Derrick Henry.
That's what I was gonna say.
And who else? Name the next one.
You don't have to have another.
Name the next one.
You don't have to have another.
Jonathan Taylor, Indianapolis.
He ain't toting it like that. That's why they went out and traded. Who they went out and traded for? Went sorry ass or somebody else.
We traded him away.
Can you load up right now? Run the ball 40 times a game. You speak of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee has no Super Bowl rings because of the fact that style of football cannot win this day and age when you got the Patrick Mahomes throwing 50 times
you
a game.
You can't do it with Ryan Tannehill.
Put the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s. They ran the football. They ran the hell out the ball. But they had Michael Irvin. They had Troy Aikman.
Harper on the outside.
They had that big offensive line. Yeah. They did it. I mean, if you got a quarterback and you got a running back, man, just happened, and you got a great offensive line, why wouldn't you run it? Let me tell you, I asked LT and Bruce Smith this question. We're talking about running football. I said, let me ask y'all a question, because the reporters, I would say, you don't have to have a running back, you don't have to run the football. I said, let me ask you guys, if you played in a football game and they didn't run the ball at all, I'm talking about no runs, no jet sweeps, nothing. Both of them said, no runs? I said, oh, we'd love that. He said, we kill them. I mean, man, you've got to be able to run the football. The thing is that the backs don't want to do it. They don't have the heart for it. Most of these backs are little guys, 5'11". They say, he's a big back, he's 5'11". 5'11", he's a little bitty man. I call him fat backs. They fat, and they got a big, they get stumpy, and they about 5'10". I'm like, yeah. Oh, he thick, he 5'10". Who in the hell, he 5'9"? I mean, I'm 6'3". Yeah. I'm as tall as a defensive end, some of the defensive linebackers. Yeah. So when I stood in the backfield, I won't forget, we played the Detroit Lions. My rookie year, I come on the field, and I ran by the DBs. One DB say, damn, that's a running back? That's a defensive end. I had 199 at
that. Hey, he didn't want to hit you from the jump, though. He didn't want to hit you from the jump.
So, yeah. I mean, I know the era is different, but I think they made the game different because they want more scoring.
Yep.
They don't want to see a 7-3. They don't want to see a 10-7. They want to see a 45-42. You know, it was 450 yards on this side and 550 on this side of offense. They don't want to see a defensive guy, and that's today's football.
Nah, it's crazy. I say the exact same thing. The $20 hot dog, you can watch the game on the Jumbotron. It's the excitement. That's their business model.
Yeah.
Let the fans come in there and really just enjoy it. But the one biggest thing, I was doing some research on you, but you signed a $2.2 million contract as a rookie coming out.
Man,
4-year, $2.2 million.
Brother, it was terrible.
Number two pick?
Let me tell you, my contract was bad. I mean, that's, I put like I said, I had a $600,000 signing bonus. My first year's base salary was $150,000. I was making $150,000. My signing bonus was a loan. It was supposed to be an unforgivable loan. So when I got traded, I had to get the Rams back my signing bonus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my first year I made $150,000 when I ran for the $1,800. I made $175,000 when I ran for $2,000. I made the third year, I think I made $275,000. Then I held out and got $400,000, but that wasn't no really no money.
$1,800.
Yeah. No, I've been making no money. And I always go back and I say, John Elway, and I just got to compare. He was making $1 million. I'm making $175,000. That's a big disparity. That's how they could do you back.
Yeah, we got to ask. Your agent was bad. The team was bad. Was y'all not aggressive enough? Because number one makes $1 million. Number two makes $600,000.
Yeah, but that's how it was because you know they really controlled the narrative. Like teams, when your team draft you back then, you were stuck. I mean, right. Let's just say you play your 4 years, and say somebody else wants you, and if we gonna make your offer, no, you ain't going nowhere until we let you go. That's how it was. You ain't going nowhere. Never. You play 4 years for us, we still got your rights. That's how we still got your rights. You can't go nowhere. That was the league back then.
You know what's so crazy? You talk about the league back then, and we talking about players now, also the fame, right? The attention right. You can get, the type of money you can make away from the field, the partying. You got here straight from Dallas to LA, balling, killing, number two pick. What your life was like away from the field?
For my first year, it was good. Cause really, I was shy. I was really kind of shy. So, you know, I didn't like I would sign autographs. I was kind of shy about it. I mean, I went to my first Laker game. My doctor, he was the Lakers doctor, asked me to go to the game. And I'm like, sure. And they were like, man, you going to that game to die? He said, he got floor seats. I didn't know what floor seats were. He said, well, I'm like, what's, we going to sit around the floor? I'm like, okay, because I didn't really watch that much basketball. So when we got to the Forum, we would go right down to the floor. I'm like, wow. And so I went with Magic and Kareem, and everybody came over. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm tripping. You know, I'm like, it's Magic and Kareem. And, you know, and they came and shaking my hand, and they announced me on the loudspeaker, and I got up, and they gave me a standing ovation. I'm like, oh, this ain't me. You know, this is not me. And I remember at one point, I didn't even want to like going out to clubs because, you know, not that they were bombarding me. I was embarrassed behind it. You know, people asked me about, you know, your plan. I'm like, you know, yeah. And so, you know, I kind of got over that part. But let me tell you, man, L.A. is a great place to play. It really is. You know, it's a great city. Beautiful girls. I kind of got out of that going to the, when I'm into the basketball game now, oh, I was into it then. I got into it.
Yeah, you was wild on.
The Forum Club, I didn't want to watch the guy. I was going to sit in the Forum Club at the girls.
Back then, when you grabbed a bad one, did you leave the goggles on? So you, because like you said, you couldn't see in front of you. So did you leave the goggles on so you could really appreciate it?
You the peripheral. Or you went
sideways so you could see that thing. Like,
let's just say, man, it was good to be in LA. I'm serious. I mean, I love playing for the Rams, even though they wasn't paying me right. You know, we had a great team of guys. Being in the city, even though we weren't in LA, we were in Orange County, but I was always in LA. You know, I was just always coming to the city. And you know, the funny thing about being out in Orange County, which was we call it the Orange Curtain. You know, it was mostly all white, but you know, a few of the brothers would come out and watch the games. They would all say, "Man, you need to be a Raider." You know, we look at you as one of us, you know. Mm-hmm. The Rams out in Orange County. I'm like, hey, man, this team I play for. And the thing is that they said, man, we love watching you play, though. Because I won't forget one time I'm in a bar and Friday's in the marina, and I'm taking a leak. Two guys come in. The guy say, man, you see the Rams today, man? I heard him talking, man, man. And you see Eric, yeah, man, he was killing them, man. I'm listening. The guy said, man, I think that's it. Man, that ain't no Eric Dickerson, man. Man, he said, man, tell him you ain't Eric Dickerson. I said, I am Eric. He said, man, what the hell you doing here? He said, ain't you tired after that game? You drove all from Orange County? I said, yeah, I came to see what y'all see, all these women up here. He said, you got that right. So, man, I mean, I love
that. You like that
look?
You my spirit animal. Yeah, boy.
It's crazy, though, that in L.A., Hollywood, the whole thing, right, for you to maintain your focus, you know, those early years of your career and the numbers that you put up, 1,800, 2,100, 1,200, 1,800 again. How were you able to maintain that?
Like I told you, man, I always wanted to be the best. That was a burning desire for me. I mean, I won't forget, it was an event that I held out. I think the year I had the 1300, I think it was my third year, I held out.
Yeah.
And I went to an event, and Marcus Allen won the rushing title that year. Mm-hmm. And I got some of why I had, because I had the record in the playoff game, 245 in the playoff game. And one of the guys introduced Marcus wasn't that accepted for Marcus, and he said, you know, yeah, we won the rushing title, blah, 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 you know. And I didn't say nothing. So when I got up to get my award, I said, well, you know, I want to congratulate Marcus. You know, I know he's not here with Marcus, I say, but only reason he got that title because I held out. I said, we'll see what happened next year. And I ran for 1800 that next year, right. You know. Yeah. So, you know, it was easy because, man, football was, you guys know, when you love it, you love it. I loved everything about it. I can remember the smell of the grass when football season. It's football season. I couldn't wait to get out on the field and to do my thing. I mean, I just loved everything about it. And the sad part about it is that, you know, at one point, you know, later in your career, you're playing on bad teams and bad organizations. They make you hate it. They make you hate a sport that you loved. And I mean, when I say loved it, I loved it. Make you hate a sport you love so much. That's the sad part about football.
And the good and the bad of football, we all know. I told a story about Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates playing them boys. I go tell my coach, do not make me cover him. He's going to catch the ball. So big as you are, you know what I'm saying, for the football people, we talking ball. You said them deep, when you walk on the field, the DBs will be like, damn, that's a running back. But yeah. Is there any of them names in your mind that they wrecked that chest?
Oh, hell
they hit
yeah.
their sternum? Like, give us a name that caught that sternum
yeah.
a couple
oh, hell
times.
Oh, yeah. Come on. We played the Bears in the playoff game. That playoff game, Mike Singletary got me really good. I won't forget it. It was an ISO player. Right after Millen, the H-back came and supposed to pick him up. And Richard Dent told me this a couple of years later. He said, we knew what the play was going to be. Eric, we had 10 men. He said, we knew y'all couldn't throw the ball. Yeah. We couldn't. Our quarterback threw for 50 yards. he threw for 60 the week before and 50 in that game.
Oh, legit.
Yeah, for real.
He said, I thought you were joking.
Oh, no. This ain't no joke. When I said earlier, I want a piece of quarterback, just give me a guy to get it down.
Something.
So he threw for 50 yards. Eric said, we knew. He said, 29 ain't going to beat us. So Mike Goomer came in motion. And Richard Dent caved it in, so knocked him off track. Mike Singletary had a free run. I saw him, but I'm thinking Mike gonna still get him. And I mean, I'm running, we went bam! And we stuck just like this here. And man, all of a sudden they bent me back and all the black waves. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. So I get up, go to the sideline. I'm like, shit, that hurt. Go there, I sit down. They came over. I knew something was wrong. They said, so you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, where you at? Chicago. I said, what's your name? Eric Dickerson. What's your date of birth? I don't know how many. I said, I have no idea. And I didn't know what date I was born. I have no clue what my birthday was. You know, that's just how it was. Yeah. But yeah, he got me really good. Ronnie Lott got me good, got me in my ribs. But I wore a flak jacket. But in that same game, I ran over him, you know. So yeah. And I ran over Mike later. I mean, it's just, you know, they get you, you get them. Ball. I mean, that's just football. You ain't gonna win all the time. You know, that's like, this ain't the movies. Like, you know, the good guy, like, you know, Bruce Lee, he kicking everybody. We kicking everybody. Don't work like that, dog. You know, you get got sometimes. So, yeah, I've gotten got.
Second best running back in Rams history.
Marshall Faulk and my big boy.
Gurley?
Ooh, God, I forgot about Todd. Eh?
Oh, you talking about Steven?
Steven.
You know,
you don't say Steven? Because, you know, Todd is great. I mean, that's my guy, too.
Right.
I say, I'm number one, two, three. But I say Steven because Steven had nothing. Mm-hmm. He had nothing, man. I'm serious. Right. And you know, when you play that position, you know what it's like. You ain't got no help. Mm-hmm. He had no help. You know, right. That's why I like him. I like him. That's number two. I don't even put myself in that in them category.
That's no brainer. I mean, yeah. I mean that goes
yeah.
without question.
Yeah, because in my era, maybe before my era, my favorite back of all time was OJ. Because that's why I wanted to play running back. He was big, he was tall, he was fast. You know, people say Jim Brown. I love Jim. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Jim play. Right. I saw a little bit of Gale Sayers, you know, like I said, a little bit, you know, mostly highlights. It's just, it's always guys you saw play. That's what it comes down to. But Rams, I would have to say, as I said, Faulk, Steven Jackson, and then my guy Todd.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping Steve retired because he's directly behind me on the all-time wrestling list. Yeah. Maybe like 100 yards. I was like, retire, man. You got to retire. Don't give him no carry. I think he ended up going to New England at the time. I was like, I know one thing. He ain't getting no carries up there, so I'm good. But he was a beast. He was a dog. Mm-hmm.
You talked about the guys in L.A., right? The L.A. history that you look at. And I was listening to you earlier, too, speak about watching Freddie T and Curtis Enos or different times you've consulted with the team. It seems that you have a really good relationship with the organization. And that's it sounds crazy to me because you talked about your contract. You obviously end up playing for Indy. I think you played for Indy longer.
I played for Rams.
Then you played here. Mm-hmm. Why has that relationship been one of those relationships you've poured into since you've been retired?
Well, I'll say this much, Jim. When I left the Rams, man, I was mad. I was hurt. I was really hurt when I left this team because I really wanted to stay with the team, but it just didn't work out that way. And the guy who traded me off, his name was John Shaw. You know, he told me later, he said, I want to see you someplace where you'd be forgotten. He tried to send me to Indy, that I had no help because that was a bad organization. I see why John Elway didn't want to go there. When you get there, I see why you didn't want to come here.
The GM of the Rams told you, I want to send you somewhere that you can be forgotten?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't. And, you know, like I could say it was different, man. John Shaw was a guy, he was all about the numbers. He was all about the numbers, and he was arrogant. He didn't miss it. He was arrogant, you know, and he sent me to because the Redskins wanted me. That's why I wanted to go. My cousin Dexter Manley was there. Mm-hmm. And he called me and said, Eric, man, I hear we're trying to get you. I said, man, I know. And he said, man, they ain't gonna let that happen. That's too much like right. I'd have killed it over there. So anyway, you know, just being with the team, you know, then when I retired, that's when I retired, John Shaw, the German guy I'm talking about, Jackie Slater called me. He said, Eric, man, he said, John Shaw, man, he wants you to call him. I said, call him for what? He said, he want to talk. I said, man, F John Shaw. I said, man, over me, man. I'm not calling him. He said, Eric, man, he said, he always said, man, he liked Eric. He said, Eric was a good guy. Because, I mean, I was a team player. I mean, I didn't cause no trouble. I didn't do drugs. I didn't beat nothing. I wasn't doing nothing but playing football. He said, if you want me to have him call me. Sure enough, he called me. He said, when the ended, voice, hey, that's how he talk.
It's John Shaw.
Like, really? He say, how's it going? I said, good, John, what's happening, man? I like to sit and talk to you. I said, okay. So we set up a meeting. I went up to his office and sit down and talk with him. And I'll never forget, this is what he said. He said, Eric, I just want to tell you this. You're the greatest player I ever saw. He said, I screwed up. He said, you should have always been a Ram. He said, you will always be a Los Angeles Rams to us. As long as I'm here, whatever you need, you just called me. And so when he told me that, man, as hurt as I was, you know, I let it go. I really let it go. And that's how, you know, I just became, when they were in St. Louis, I would go back to see him play, you know, to see the game and stuff. And John Shaw, you know, he's right. And anything I needed, you know, he would help me do.
Is he still around?
No, he doesn't work with the team anymore. Don't work with the team anymore, but I wish he was.
Yeah, because I want to talk about those Super Bowl teams.
Yeah, I wish he was. That's what I said. I wish he was. I mean, because even he called me about that, but when you ask me a question, I'll tell you. But nah, so that's why. I mean, and look, man, I'll always be a Ram. I mean, I tell you, I love, one thing about you, I'm loyal. I just got that loyalty thing. I mean, even I played for the Colts, they just said, I don't feel like a Colt. I don't. I just don't. I don't go back to Indy to none of the games. I just don't. I just feel like this is where I live. This is my team. This is the team I love. I mean, this team I want. This is the team I wanted to play for when I got drafted. Because you know why? I like the I like that horn. I thought it just looked cool. And I thought I'd look good in the uniform. And, you know, but now when I go on with your question,
I wanted to see because, you know, from some people's point of view, obviously theirs don't always matter. But some feel like it was an ungrateful, you know, response with the Super Bowl tickets that you received.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much here. First of all, I'm never ungrateful. That's the one thing. You never got to be being ungrateful. Right. You know, and I didn't even want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know how it works. You know, I know the system. And they did the same thing to me in Atlanta. I didn't say anything. I never said a word. I wasn't saying nothing this time. Right. Matter of fact, the tickets that I got in Atlanta, I gave to a guy who was a big Ram fan. I paid for his hotel and gave him my tickets to that game. Gave him the tickets because he was a huge Ram fan. I didn't even go to one in Atlanta. If they call me the next day and say, oh, we got a ticket for you, I'm like, I'm cool. I just stay at my buddy's house and watch it.
Right.
Here, the same thing. I mean, look, I didn't want to bring that up. That was not my intention. Because the kid kept asking me, I'm not going to the game. You know, my main thing was, I want my football team to win. Can't buy no football game. I mean, but, you know, they kept asking me. I said, well, when they asked me, and I'm going to tell you, I mean, think about this, Fred. I'm going to ask you this here. You played for Jacksonville for all those years. They went to the Super Bowl. Do you think they put you in the rafters? And I don't mean, I'm talking about the rafters. Like,
right.
The top of the stadium is right there.
Right.
And I gave my tickets to a friend, to a girl that worked for me. She called me. She sent a picture. She said, Eric, these tickets are so high that I can't even stay up here. I've got to come down. She said the players look like little ants.
I think worst case, owner suite maybe. I
Man,
mean,
you
because
know
you're a face of the franchise.
It wasn't even that. Look, first of all, I mean, I even asked, could I even buy my tickets that I have seen? I buy my own tickets. You can't buy them. The league takes them over. I was willing to buy my own tickets for to go to the game. But, you know, I ended up going with Shannon.
Again, how we started by saying you're iconic as a running back, but you're also a legendary Rams player. And since they've been back out here in L.A. since 2017, I mean, you've sort of reemerged, you know, on the scene with everything that they're doing with, you know, helping the rookies and directing them in those Super Bowl runs, 2 in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has to be special for, you know, an old head.
You know, for me, especially for the young players. I mean,
right.
Look, I never played in the Super Bowl. And like I say, for me, man, like, I don't care about that crap. I mean, like I said, I wasn't going to even say anything. The guy kept asking me over. He asked me again, so why are you not going? Why are you not? So that's why I said it. I mean, and I'm going to say this much here, and I'll just say the name.
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy that plays for the Rams, Jim Everett. He made a comment.
Mm-hmm.
He made a comment, and I'm just going to say it. If you don't want the truth, don't ask me. Mm-hmm. He, to me, made a kiss-ass comment, you know? Like, I'm just happy to be in the house. And we players, we know what's up.
Right.
Like, guys who played with me, they called me about it. They said, man, what's that all about? We know what that deal's about,
right.
You know? I mean, I just keep it 100. Like I said, I love my football team. Everything's never going to be perfect,
right.
But I love my organization. I love the team. And I'm a player. I'm a player first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I work for the team, I still got the player mentality.
Correct.
Even when I did sport TV with you, I still had the player mentality. You know, I'm always for the players. If the player's doing right now, you know, if you're being lazy, it's different. But I'm always a player.
How did it feel to see them win the Super Bowl here in LA?
Oh, the best, man. The best. I told them. I kept telling guys, even Faulkner, I said, man, when y'all won that Super Bowl in St. Louis, I said, I know that's great. I said, but man, you went in L.A. I said, it's different. It really is. I mean, and look, L.A. is still a Raider town. Let's be making plans. It's still a Raider town.
Mm-hmm.
But it's back gradually going back because the Rams were gone for 21 years. I mean, it was no team here. These little kids that are now 25 and 30, you know, they might have been Ram fans, my grandma, but now they're Raiders. They're 49ers fans. I hate them 49ers. 49ers fans. They're Cowboy fans, you know. So it's going to take a while. But to win a Super Bowl in L.A. and win at your home stadium, it's fantastic.
I think the one thing before we wrap up that I'd like you to share is you were highly successful from the day you became a Ram. And you've now lived your life in a way that's exemplary, where people could look at you and say, I respect him, not because he does everything right, but because he does everything as an adult man should do it. And he's okay with whatever comes with that. What would be your advice to young men who got their name called or who got that called and now have an opportunity to represent one of these 32 teams and, you know, namely the Rams?
I mean, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I haven't done everything right, but I tried to. You know, my main thing is I just remember my mother told me when I came to L.A., she said, Eric, don't go out there and embarrass yourself and don't come embarrass your name, your dad's name. He had a good name. My father had a really good name. And that's my big thing. I mean, and I tell any of these young players, you know, you're going to only be number 29 or number 82 or 18 for a small amount of time. You're going to be an older man a lot longer. So make that older man, make that legacy a legacy that you can be proud of. Mm-hmm. And so that's for me. I want my kids to be proud of me. I want my grandkids to be proud of me. You know, so that's kind of what I live by. And like I said, it's not a perfect life, but you know, it's the life that God gave me, and I'm not making no excuses for it. I'm blessed to have what I have.
Any regrets?
I ain't gonna say regrets. No, only regret, and that's not a regret. Do I wish that I could have stayed with the Rams my whole career? That's it, but I don't regret it. Because you know why? It didn't happen like that, because when I got traded, it changed the pay scale for other players. It changed the pay scale for running backs. It really did, because God told me, he said, man, Eric, he said, you didn't know this, but they had a rule called the Dickerson rule. No one can make more than Eric Dickerson as a running back. But they brought our salaries up.
Yeah.
And said, I didn't even know that. But you know, that's that hidden stuff they don't tell you. I mean, but yeah, because I mean, I was outspoken, man. We wasn't getting paid right. Running backs weren't getting paid. I mean, it just wasn't happening for us. They were paying everybody else. But I mean, what about us? I mean, back in those days, we were the workhorses.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I made more money than you all your years, and I wasn't even worth a damn compared to you. But financially, I was better than you. But I was 20 years younger.
Way better.
And that was the difference. Yeah. So, but just the love, and we call him Freddie Flowers. He tries to give it, but the love of the OGs like that for y'all to fight for that money is the reason that we could make the money that we made later on.
Most of them, and even guys before us, you know, that didn't get a chance to make the money. Because I think about my friend Deacon Jones. He said, my first contract, he said, I made $7,500. So, you know, I mean, back in the day when I played, minimum wage was $30,000. So guys had multiple, you know, guys sold cars, you know, insurance. So it wasn't like, we didn't have a real offseason all the time.
Yeah. So on behalf of the running backs in the game today, I think I'll, you know, salute you and really just say, man, I personally appreciate you. And I'm sure those guys do for us. But just being a standard, you know, setting a bar, and I just, man, giving us something to look up to and goals to chase. But with that, who are your top five backs in the game today?
Right now?
That's just five. Tough. It usually changes, but five, easy five.
I'm just gonna go by team. Like you name
it. That's fine. That's gonna be some big old sons of bitches.
You know Derrick Henry. That's my number one.
Okay.
Number two would probably be, I still like Zeke, man. Like, I still Zeke like tough. Zeke. You know I like Zeke? Because Zeke is tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He runs between the tackles. I like Zeke. You know, let me think. I like Saquon Barkley, but he's never had a chance. Right. And I said that when he got drafted. I said, I hate to see this young talent go to a bad football team. He's probably going to end up getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. He went early like you, though. He was the second pick of the draft
Second pick of the draft, but a terrible football team. God, let me some more back.
You got two more.
Alvin Kamara, Christian
off McCaffrey, the other side though, because I was you hit the two first.
Jonathan Taylor. You know, Christian McCaffrey. I like Christian McCaffrey.
But how do you feel about Christian McCaffrey and Kamara, the guys out of the backfield, the receiving backs? Because you, like you saying, Derrick Henry number one. That's downhill, high formation guy. You like those.
I like that, but I like guys come out the backfield too. Let me tell you, see, my first year, I had 51 receptions. Because we had a kind of a quarterback. I had 51 receptions for, I think, 498 yards. Mm-hmm. But my quarterback, that was Vince Ferragamo. After that, I never played with a quarterback like him ever again. Mm-hmm. So I like the young kid, Christian McCaffrey. I like McCaffrey a lot because, I mean, he's just been hurt, you know. But, man, I call him white chocolate. You know?
Smooth, man.
That white boy can play, man. I call it like I see it. I like him, so I don't know if that was five or not.
That's five.
That's five. But yeah,
that's five.
Yeah.
I say this. That's solid five. I say this, man. I am a football nerd.
I know. You know all about. I love watching you on TV.
Yeah, I'm a football junkie. So for us to have the opportunity to sit down with one of the best that ever lived on our little show, man, is huge. It's huge for us, and we couldn't be more grateful, you know, that you gave us your time. This is for sure one of the more special pivots, you know, we've done since we got together, man. So thank you so much.
No, thank y'all. I appreciate it. Thank you for the word.
I'd have thumped that chest.
You thumped it?
You got
these knees one time. You got these knees one time. And them big old shoulder pads.
Big chin.
Okay.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir, man.
Hold up, limitless, take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On this vision, I can trust. Trust, limitless, take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up.